Gabbert in the shotgun, four wide. There's the shotgun snap. With time, he'll turn and throw, and he's got a man. He's on the run. Look at him go. There goes Cecil Shorts. He's going. He's in the 20, the 15, 10, 5, and he's reaching. Touchdown. Touchdown, Jacksonville. 80 yards. 80 yards. Oh, my, 80 yards. No timeouts. Down five. Pressure coming. Gabbert plants, turns, and he's going for the whole ball of wax, and he's got Cecil Shorts. Shorts catches it. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Oh, my goodness. What a catch by Cecil Shorts.
You are amazing, Cecil Shorts. What a catch.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today just getting rolling here right now. I can just imagine the bad things Donna Murphy is thinking about me right now as I called her out to start the broadcast this morning. Good morning, everybody. Shad Khan speaking at the owners' meetings. We'll have the audio coming your way a little bit later on, not too much later on in the program. But we'll catch up with Brian Sexton, the longtime voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars today. We haven't talked with Brian in a while on the program, Tony. Figured it would be a good day to get his take on how the offseason has gone, free agent signings, where things stand in terms of the draft, and also kind of throw out the worst-case scenario that we've talked a little bit about. Chris Burke of Sports Illustrated did a mock draft last week, and we've talked about what is – could you imagine what combination of players would be the worst to come off the board for the Jags in the first four picks? And I think most people, by consensus, feel that some combination, whatever order, of Laramie Tunsil going to Tennessee, likely, and then in whatever order, Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, Joey Bosa coming off the board, yeah, leaving the Jags with the obvious selection of, we're not sure. Now, that's not to say that one or more of those guys could be on the board and they still opt to go another direction. They could do that. We don't know. But kind of the consensus, I think, media and fan opinion right now is that the Jags ideally would like the opportunity to be able to select from one of those three defensive players, assuming Tunsil comes off the board. And the way to do that most likely is to have a quarterback go. So Chris Burke did a mock draft last week where that didn't happen. So that's our fan feedback question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. What would you like to see the Jags do with the number five pick? Who would you like to see them take? Don't say trade down, please. That may be what you like anyway. But for this, this is just a case study in who's the next guy for you. If you can't move out, if you can't get value with that pick. Let me ask you a crazy question, because Chris Burke has thrown this out. He said Jaguar Twitter actually came back and in discussing this mock draft last week and said, what do you think about the idea of drafting a quarterback? Not because you're disappointed with Blake Bortles, just because that's where the value may be. And much like in the NBA draft, drafting a chip that you're ultimately going to trade to someone else. If you can't entice someone to trade up because they say, well, they're not going to take a quarterback, we got to deal with Baltimore, screw it. We'll take Carson Wentz or Jared Goff or whoever, and then put the screws to somebody who wants a quarterback to make the best deal possible. What percentage likelihood in this scenario would you give that out of 100%?
0%. Yeah.
Not even one.
No.
I was willing to go 1%.
No.
I was a 1%er on that.
There's no way that this team, with the way that we've watched them draft, is drafting a quarterback at number five. There's no way.
I shook up the world. Oh, it would be fantastic. Dave Caldwell could do his best Muhammad Ali impersonation right there.
He could, and I can't see that happening.
I can't either. That's why. But I was willing to go 1%.
I'm not even going to give it
to entertain it.
I would be so critical of them taking quarterback at five. I don't know.
But what if then they turned around and a couple of picks? But by the time San Fran got on the clock, they had a deal worked out where San Fran gave up the seventh pick in the draft. And
when does that happen?
A second rounder. It doesn't.
Well, it happened with Eli and Phillip Rivers, but those were two teams that wanted
a quarterback, right?
So they could work something out like that. That just doesn't happen. It's like buying a car. Once it leaves the lot, it loses value.
I agree with that. I've been using that line for years, so trademark me, baby. Look, doesn't mean it can't happen, right?
No.
I mean, it could happen. I'm not suggesting it's likely to, but still, I'd give it a 1%er. But today, whether that is a quarterback in that scenario, and maybe that's your ideal kind of move, other than trading out immediately out of the fifth spot, because you don't know if you're going to have the offer to do that, who would you pull the trigger on if you had to pick with Joey Bosa, Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, Laremy Tunsil, all off the board, all you Jaguar draft picks, put on your thinking caps with that today. Shad Khan coming up, the owner speaking at, guess where, the owner's meetings, plus a list of rules changes that are coming into the National Football League that the owners voted on against, in many cases, Tony, or at least in some cases, the wishes of their head coaches. Clearly, with the unsportsmanlike rule, looked like it did not have a lot of popularity amongst the league's coaches. The owners feel a little bit differently, and in trying to protect the game, they have instituted a new ejection rule. We'll get into all the details of that coming up. If you'd like to be a part of the program today, 641-1010 is the phone number. That's also the number for the 1010XL text line, driven by Duval Ford, where you can ask us to discuss me. And how handsome I happen to be on any given day, or amazing I am in my own eyes. Send that text if you need me to discuss any further than I already do. Also, tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler, your Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. If the top guys off the board are Tunsil, Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, Joey Bosa, who would you like to see the Jags draft at number 5? It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday, just getting started. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Luke, thanks for joining us. Luke Boyenko, Jaguars offensive lineman. I think we could ask him a million other random questions.
All the professional questions come from us. Right.
Yes.
And we are professionals. Don't forget.
Sorry about that Mike Dempsey tweet earlier, too.
That's what it was. I really couldn't catch what he said. He claimed to be the one who sent that in to talk about how amazing and awesome I am. Luke, stop by anytime, and we can discuss at length. You know, I got plenty of time. I'm here all day. It's summer, or it's spring, I guess. We just started spring. Let's not even get to summer anytime soon. That was pretty funny.
Luke's a funny dude.
Luke is a funny dude, man. And can we get away with Tony? I mean, how would, you know, all right, you know, usually inside the business, not all of our pregame show interviews are done live on the pregame show, right?
No.
So we record, in fact, all of them during the week, except for like the other reporters who come sit down with us. John Oger comes sits down with us, Loggeman and Baselli.
They're a little busy before the game.
Correct. The players
that
are preparing 2-hour
window,
to play.
You know, before you
play a
game.
It's a tough ask,
it's
right?
A little tough to get them to come in from warming up and give us 5 minutes.
It is a tough ask. So let's say we had Luke Boyenko in midweek, and we were getting ready for the pregame show, Jags season opener next year, and we asked him, who is your favorite Disney princess? Would we get away with that question? Or is that just a helmets and heels specialty right there?
Seems like a helmets and heels thing to me.
By the way, does Snow White count? Is she a princess? I think
any of the, like, I don't think you technically have to be a princess to qualify for
a Disney leading lady?
Yeah.
You know who we should ask about this, honestly?
It's Hacker.
Hacker would know. Hacker's the authority on Disney princess.
What is officially a Disney
princess? Right. Does Snow White count? Would you do, because I'm going to have to bail before crosstalk today. Could you ask Hacker for me if Snow White counts as a Disney princess? Because I value his Disney opinion above all others. So if we could get that
done. Would
Snow
White be your answer?
Sure.
Or were you just asking?
I was thinking. That was the one I was thinking of. You know, because Cinderella, you know, it looks good now, but it's going to happen at midnight, right? I mean, Snow White, you're going in the wrong direction with Cinderella. With Snow White, I think, you know, you wake her up and or that Sleeping Beauty.
Boyenko went with Rapunzel because he loved her long locks.
She did have the lovely hair. And, you know, it reminds me of, like, if Scarlett Johansson grew it out. If the Black Widow version of Scarlett Johansson grew it out. If that's in that case, my favorite Disney princess is Scarlett Johansson. So I have the correct answer.
I don't think she's played
Forget
the part
about Snow
yet.
White. I don't know. I don't know if she counts as a princess, though. Scarlett does, certainly. But I don't know about Snow White.
I don't know if she technically does. Like I said, I think it's any leading lady from one of those Disney movies, the animated movies. Mine would be Belle from Beauty and the Beast. It's also my favorite Disney movie
Isn't
of all
that
time
lovely?
Still.
Yeah. Isn't that lovely?
Love Belle.
We have 30 votes in already. Tyler Devitt threw a poll out there. Is Oppo a baseball term you have heard of? Okay, and you and I each retweeted it. The early results, 21 yeses, 9 noes. So certainly two-thirds of the people are saying it's absolutely a term I've heard of, and the rest of them live in a cave.
We're not asking how you feel about the
term. You may hate the term.
It's have you heard the term.
Right. You may have a visceral reaction to it, like maybe if an RBI is referred to as a ribby, right? Some people don't like it being called a ribby.
But you've heard it.
Yeah.
Right.
Does
football have that kind of thing?
Vernacular like
that? Where, like, I know there are football terms where you have to know the term to understand what people are talking about. Like, the touchback rule got changed.
Well, a Hail Mary is kind of that thing, right?
Yeah,
isn't it?
That kind of thing. How much of that is there in football?
I don't know. That's a good question. What else could we come up with?
Because baseball, it's all over the place.
A can of corn.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why is it called a can of corn?
I don't know.
I think because it's something to do with, like, the grocery store. Like, guys used to come along with this stick. Grocers in the old days, right? And they'd have the corn on the top shelf, and they'd have this stick that would knock it on, and they'd catch it in their apron. I really think that's what it's for. You know, like a can of corn is like a super easy, lazy little fly ball that you could catch underhanded, right? Just a simple little can of corn is what you call that.
Yeah. How much of that is there in football? Hail Mary is good.
Hail Mary? And I don't even know. And that one directly came from Roger Staubach talking about saying a Hail Mary when he threw the ball. I think it was to Billy White Shoes Johnson, right? The original Hail Mary. I don't know.
Think about it.
That would be a fine question today. What's your favorite little football terminology?
Maybe we'll save that for tomorrow.
Maybe we will. I'm trying to think, though. I mean, I'm sure there. I bet if once we start thinking of a few, the floodgates would open up.
Right.
And we would have many to fall back on at that point in time. So go check out at 1010XL Tyler's Twitter feed and vote on whether or not you've heard of Oppo before. And if you've got a similar type football term, feel free to share that with us. Coffin Corner.
Coffin Corner. Yeah, we just got a couple on the Duval 4 text line as well. Pancake Block, Flea Flicker.
That's a 1010XL text line driven by Duval 4.
Coming in. So there's a couple out there.
Flea Flicker is good. Yeah, trying to flick the fleas off you as you're being chased around the backfield. Well, you have Pancake Block.
Pancake Block.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So
you don't even have to say block. You just say pancake.
Pancake. Which is a pancake is literally supposed to mean when you put a defensive lineman on his back.
Or the opposite.
Right, but typically that's what it is. An offensive lineman pancaking another guy is putting him flat like a pancake lies flat. Truly putting him on his back, not just knocking him down, putting him on his back.
Yep.
And they kept the stat for that for Orlando Pace, right? That was like his big stat when he's making a Heisman push. I think he finished, I want to say fourth in the Heisman voting in his final year at Ohio State. And they had like, you know, gave him credit for like 70 something pancake blocks or something like that throughout the course of the season. I don't doubt it, dude. That dude
that's
was an ox. And you're talking about college football.
Right. You're playing like 11 games.
Right. You're playing 11 games, but you're also playing, you know, against probably when you're at Ohio State, eight teams that can't beat you. Right? I mean, even when Orlando Pace was there, you're playing at least eight teams that probably can't beat you the second that they kick the thing off. So, all right, let's get to a few thoughts from Shad Khan. We'll hear some now. We'll get to some later. You know what we'll do? Let's go to Nick in Pittsburgh. Why not? He's calling. Now, Nick in Pittsburgh, I believe, is a Jags fan, if I'm not mistaken. And he's called the program before. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I am a Jags fan. I was just wondering what the Jaguars could draft second, third round. I know the fourth round they could get a center, Jack Allen. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
I don't know if center is going to be a high priority for him. I'll be honest with you. You know, I'd love for them to get a guy who's truly an accomplished guy like Ryan Kelly is, but I don't think they'd spend the draft capital to get him, Tony. I think they will maybe spend a pick on an offensive lineman, but I think they probably feel like they beefed up the offensive line a little bit with Beecham and Bernadeau coming on board, and they have some interchangeable pieces that they feel are left behind. I think this team is, you know, if you're talking about specific players, your guess is as good as ours, but I think they're going to look for pass rush, well, that's any round. I mean, these are just the priorities. Pass rush, linebackers, multiple linebackers. They'll draft at least one cornerback, in my opinion. And then, you know, some best player available type scenarios. But I could see them going, for instance, let's say they went Miles Jack, or let's say they went a pass rush. Let's say they went Bosa in the first round. I could see them going with a corner in the second round, or a linebacker in the second round, and vice versa in the third round. I mean, it's just going to be loads and loads of defense. Whatever they think, if they've got guys that they can find that they think can get pressure on quarterbacks, I think they're going to go that direction with multiple picks in this draft. I don't know how many of them you're going to find after, say, the top of the second round. I would think that, you know, one of the first two picks is going to be a linebacker or a defensive back, right? And I don't think they're going to go D-line, D-line with the first two picks, in other words. I could see them going D-line in the first or second round. I just don't think they're going to double up after signing Malik Jackson, getting some Derek Marks coming back, and getting Dante Fowler coming back. I'm not saying they're done there, but I don't think they're going to spend their first two picks on that position group.
I wouldn't expect them to, but say the scenario we're talking about today plays out, and they feel like at five, the best player available to him in this draft is DeForest Buckner. And he's not really a pass rusher, but he is a defensive lineman. So they draft Buckner at five. If it comes back around to him in the second round, and say they think Emmanuel Ogba or somebody like that has fallen to him in the second round, could I see them taking back-to-back defensive linemen in that kind of scenario? Yeah. But you're talking about it playing out with them not having these types of guys, the three guys we've been talking about a lot, at least in my mind, available to them at five. Could that change the scenario for them a little bit? I suppose it could, but I think they got enough holes at all three levels of the defense that I would think they want to be able to spread the wealth a little bit with what they're going to be doing in the draft. But they're also, they have enough holes that to some degree it's just who's the best player on defense available right now. And they can go with any of those guys and feel like they're upgrading somewhere.
All right, thank you for the call. Nick, let's go to Bob on the south side next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
The Jets made it clear that they'd entertain offers for a trade for Mohamed Wilkerson. He's coming off an injury. He's the franchise player for the Jets. Do you think it's worth looking at him?
I think it's always worth looking at these kind of things. I don't think it's going to be a high priority for the Jaguars. You know, Mohamed Wilkerson's going to play defensive tackle. You just signed Malik Jackson to a deal where if he lives up to the full extent of it, he's going to get $90 million. Yes, and Derek Marks, who's supposed to be fully healthy, Tony, by OTAs. Roy Miller, who's quietly been, I think, one of the most solid performers for the last two seasons for this Jacksonville Jaguar team. I just don't see them giving up anything approaching what the Jets would want for a guy of Mohamed Wilkerson's caliber. And that is the reporting. Tony Pauline's frequent guest to this program, saying that the Jets were at Florida's Pro Day yesterday, letting it be known that Mohamed Wilkerson was available if you wanted to come and get him. Now, keeping in mind the Jets drafted Leonard Williams last year. They also have Sheldon Richardson, who they played at outside linebacker last year. So they've got some pretty good pieces on the defensive line. Wilkerson wants a long-term deal. Richardson is in the last year of his contract coming up. He's going to want a long-term deal. He's had issues off the field as well. But likely, they're going to keep one of those guys. They probably, right now, my guess is Wilkerson's contract demands are so high that they're seeing if they can get some great, you know, influx of draft capital before the draft. I think once the draft goes by, I think the Jets will bite the bullet and hang on to Mohamed Wilkerson. But look, you should always explore these things.
Sure.
I just don't think that's, with the position group the way it is for this football team, I don't think that's a priority.
There's, you know, people say all the time, and we've been included in this, you can't have enough defensive linemen. You can't have enough pass rushers. You can't have enough of those guys up front, but you can be investing too much in it. Like, there is some limit of how much you can financially put into that group of players. And I think when you're talking about Wilkerson with the kind of contract that it seems like he's going to demand and want with wherever he goes, plus the compensation you're going to have to give up to go get that guy to the New York Jets to bring him here. Look, he plays one of two positions that you already feel like you're okay at right now. It's not that he wouldn't be better necessarily than what you have, but it's how much better is he than what you have at the price that you're getting right now.
Right.
And you've already invested all that money in Malik Jackson. You are paying Jared Odrick $8 million a year. So you have a lot of money invested in these, the defensive line, those three positions on the D-line. You're getting away pretty cheap at Leo right now, but it's not because they weren't interested in getting Olivier Vernon and weren't interested in trading for Chandler Jones. They were interested in those things. They just didn't work. So I think they're looking to invest right now pass rusher. Not a guy that's going to help them in the middle get pushed. They feel like they got guys that can do that right now.
Right, and
they want a pass rusher.
They've invested heavily to do that.
Yeah.
Mohamed Wilkerson's going to want a $100 million contract, or at least that's the word. He wants something in the six-year, $100 million range. So let's say even if you gave up, we talked about this with Chandler Jones, is it worth it to give up, let's say, a high second-round pick and pay this guy what it's going to take? We were talking about the scenario with Chandler Jones. Maybe you give up a second-round pick and a player, a la the Arizona Cardinals doing that with Jonathan Cooper, albeit their second-round pick was lower. Some people suggested maybe the Jags' second-round pick alone would have been worth it. But then it's also the cost control that you have with a second-round pick, the ability to lock a guy in at team-favorable terms for the next 4 years, and you lose that flexibility, obviously, if you trade that pick for a guy that you've got assigned to a $100 million type contract. Thank you for the call, though, Bob, but we don't think that that is likely at all for the Jags. Let me get Howard on the south side quickly before we break. Howard, you're on Jaguars today. Good morning.
Hey, good morning to you fellas. How are you?
Good, buddy. Good. What's up?
Hey, so and rightfully so, a lot of the attention and a lot of the calls are designed to speak about the defensive side, and I'm all for that. You know, we certainly need defensive help, get after the pass rusher and things along that line. I wanted to speak about somebody that I thought would be a key part of the Jags draft more in the third round, and I like the kid Ryan Kelly, the center from Alabama, right? We have a lot of pieces in place on the offense. They're young. We're hoping that we keep them and they can all mature together. We have the quarterback of the future. We have the wide receivers of the future. You know, running back is still kind of iffy, right? You can plug and play a lot of different guys. But we also have a big need on the offensive line, as we all know. And I was curious what you guys thought about the Ryan Kelly kid who could be plugged in, grow with Blake Bortles, be an integral part of that offensive line for the next decade to come, and watch that side of the line kind of mature and grow together.
All right. Thank you, Howard. We actually mentioned his name just a few minutes ago, but he's not going to be around in the third round. If any of the projections are accurate, this guy's going in maybe the top 40 to 50 picks, maybe even the first round. See him in a lot of mock drafts in the first round. If I could get the best center in college football in round three, yeah, I'd consider that. Absolutely. I don't think they feel the needs on the offensive line are as big as your putting them out there with the signing of Beecham, with the ability they feel that Linder has to handle the center position. They think you can find a second guard to go along with AJ Can. But would I be opposed to having Ryan Kelly in the middle and putting Linder back at guard with Can? That would be a hell of a potential offensive line. Again, I'm not willing to spend one of my first two picks on the offensive line, and I don't think Kelly's around for your third round pick. So no. I think it's a moot point.
But, no, I don't think he's going to be there either.
No, I don't think it's out of the realm possibility that he's off the board by your second pick, quite frankly. He's regarded as the clear-cut best player at his position coming out of college. Howard, thank you for the call. 641-1010, the number. Brian Sexton, longtime voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars. He'll weigh in on his thoughts on the Jags offseason. That's next on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious.
On 1010 XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
And it's a draw again. Taylor going outside. He's at the 10. Breaks a tackle, looking for room inside at the 15. Outside, there he goes. It's a foot race. Taylor's gone. He's at the 40. He's at the 50. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. Taylor to the 20. Taylor 10. 5. Touchdown. Jacksonville. 90 yards.
90 yards. Brian Sexton's calls live on almost a daily basis here on Jaguars
that.
Today. What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. It was funny. Yesterday, I watched Kelvin Taylor work out down in Greenville at UF Pro Days. Kelvin does not have his father's speed.
No. Did it make you feel old, by the way?
Yeah, kind of did. Yeah, because he came up and said, hi, how are you? Miss you, you know, that kind of stuff. Because he was around here. But he's built. He's not as big as his dad, but he's sturdy and caught the ball well. But when I saw that he ran in the mid-4.6s, according to one scout that I talked to, I thought, yeah.
Hey, you know what?
Speed doesn't quite translate.
It doesn't, but he'll get an opportunity somewhere.
He's a good athlete. Yeah. Smart guy.
Matt Jones, I was surprised, went in the third round out of Florida last year. And right now, you look at the tops of depth chart in Washington. So
you find all kinds of guys at that position all over. I tell everyone, you know who the Jaguars took in the fifth round in 1995?
Fifth round in 1995. Who was the fifth round pick in 95?
Ryan Christopherson.
Uh-huh.
The fullback from Wyoming. Do you know who they missed on?
Who did they miss on?
Of course, everybody did. Terrell Davis.
Oh, there
right?
you go.
I mean, you find these guys.
Who wouldn't have been a fit in this offense?
Yeah, well, Jamal Anderson was a seventh-round pick, so you never know. You know?
Well, you know, it's funny because Brian Anger, probably forever, will be the guy who got drafted ahead. The punter got drafted ahead of Russell Wilson, but he got drafted ahead of Malik Jackson. He got drafted ahead of Olivier Vernon. Guys get drafted ahead of a lot of players. It's just that when, you know, the Jags obviously needed a quarterback, that was the focal point.
Well,
of
but
one.
They didn't think they needed a quarterback because they had just drafted one the
Understood.
Year before, and that
Understood.
Led to the conversation. I'll say this. If you go look at it, the number of players that get drafted and the number of players that stick beyond 3 years, there's more misses than there are hits. It's kind of like baseball, right? I mean, Babe Ruth struck out, what, seven times out of every 10 he went up to bat, and he's one of the greatest hitters of all time.
Right.
It's just people forget about that. There's
six out
of
eight, he didn't strike out six out of every 10 times he went up to bat.
Well, yeah, what did he hit? 3-something? 3.32?
Oh, he made outs. Yes. Okay, he made outs.
I'm sorry, I didn't strike out. You're right. He didn't strike out.
I got your point.
He got a hit.
Right. He failed 65% of the time.
I guess that's the overall
66%
point.
That's
time,
baseball.
Whatever it
yeah.
was.
But
yeah.
you just have to hit on enough guys.
Well, has Dave Caldwell hit on enough guys? And I understand you can't judge a draft class until maybe 5 years down the road, but let's judge it anyway, all right, from what they've done over a three-year period.
If the quarterback is what the quarterback looked like last year, then
he's hit on enough.
Now, they came in, and Gus said this yesterday. I was watching, you know, just a shameless promotional plug here. Now you can watch all the shows that we do on Jaguars.com live on your app. So we were coming back from Gainesville, and I was watching on the app, and Gus made a comment about, hey, everybody knew, you know, what our long-term project was. They were asking about the record and patience, and he talked about the scope of the project. So, you know, the average fan can look and see the guys that haven't made it. You know, they can point to a guy like Luke Jokel and say, well, you know, they're bringing in now competition for him. But if the quarterback is what the quarterback looks like, then it's enough. Now you got to add some pieces from here on out, but the quarterback, as you guys know, in this game today, sets the tempo for where your franchise goes. You can have a lot of talent, but you're not going to win without the quarterback.
Now, the very first draft pick, Luke Jokel, right. obviously under more pressure at this point than he's ever been
Absolutely.
In a Jaguar uniform. The signing of Kelvin Beecham.
That's interesting.
Project in your head. What are your thoughts on that, and how do you expect that?
Well,
to play
I'm not
going to
sit here and tell you that I watched a lot of the Steelers last year, or that I know Kelvin Beecham's skill set intimately. I've read about it. Here's what I think is interesting. When Dave Caldwell talked about Luke Jokel, he said that during his interview process with Shad Khan, he said, "Who's the best player in this draft?" And Dave said, "I answered Luke Jokel." Okay, you guys remember that comment?
Yes.
From draft day 2013. Well, now, most general managers in the National Football League wouldn't be so quick to bring in competition, and at a pretty good number, too, right? I mean, it's a moderate number this year.
But potentially a four-year, $40 million
absolutely.
Deal to follow.
For the guy that they told the owner in their interviews, the best player in the draft. I mean, that's an admitted mistake, then. He wasn't the best player in the draft at that point. But that goes to show you the relationship that Khan has with Caldwell and the confidence he has in Caldwell that Dave can say, yeah, bring in Kelvin Beecham. We'll give him a big contract. We'll let him compete with Luke. And maybe Luke slides in to play guard, right? That's the interesting part of it to me.
It's a big contract, potentially. If you like what you see. And I don't know if I can recall another one quite like this with a media team option for not a year-by-year option, but a four-year, we're picking up a big deal, and we're paying you as, you know, roughly, let's call it a top-10 offensive tackle.
Well, you know, that Russell Okung did the same thing in Denver. And a few years ago, they started with these, you know, if you get injured, these partial signing bonuses for draft choices, too. I forget the exact term for that. But you start to see these trends in contract signings. For a while, it was poison pills. Remember that the Vikings.
Which they outlawed.
Well, absolutely, which you can no longer
do. The Steve Hutchinson deal.
Yeah, Steve Hutchinson from Seattle to Minnesota. So you do start to see trends in that. And Okung was a guy who was hurt last year. And Beecham is a guy, obviously, who was hurt last year. So they're going on these one-year prove it with an option for the team. And I guess, you know, Prince Amukamara decided he didn't want that kind of a deal. He just would take a straight-up one-year deal because he wants to hit the market next year. These guys obviously decided, well, you know, put that in there, and if I earn it, I'll take it. Don't want to go back into the marketplace next year for whatever reason. So, you know, I'm not a contract or a capologist guy. I follow it pretty well. But I'll tell you that from my perspective, that deal says we like him. We like this guy and what we've seen. If he's healthy, we might hit on something. And that's a bold move for a general manager with the number two pick from his first ever draft class.
Sure.
It's a very bold
move. And is it as simple as the loser of that head-to-head competition is likely still starting somewhere on that offensive line?
Well, I guess that depends on what they decide to do with the center guard spot. I mean, I think you've got
two
guys.
Well, let's assume Linder plays center for now.
Okay.
And that Cann's going to play one of the guard spots.
Right.
Okay. So that leaves left or right guard is the loser of the tackle competition, the clear favorite.
I don't have any doubt about Luke Jokel's physical skills. I mean, I stand next to Tony Boselli and Jeff Lagerman during training camp as they talk about what he can do. Drop the hips, shift and slide, redirect, all that stuff that just hasn't translated to the practice field. So I would say he's one of your best five offensive linemen in terms of his skill set. Now, you'd have to talk to the coach about whether he thinks he can play guard or not, but I think your question is best answered by yes, because I think he's one of your best five.
6'6 is a big, that's a tall guard. He's kind of a tall, angular guy. You don't, you know, more, you look at Beecham and what he's listed as, and I haven't met him
yet. It seems like they'd be flip-flop.
Right,
well,
it would.
More of a guard,
but Beecham's certainly a lot more accomplished, at least in his brief career playing
left tackle. But there have been lots of big guards in the National Football League over time. You know, the Jaguars had Rich Tilske at 6'5 and Ben Coleman at 6'5 at 1.2. So, and I think Luke is listed at 6'5. So, would he be a bigger guard? Yeah, he'd be a bigger guard, but he did a pretty good job in run blocking. So, you know, maybe that's what they see. And then, you know, they have a decision to make on his option, whether or not they're going to pick that one up for the following year. And you wouldn't think that if he's a guard, they're going to pick up the option at $13 million.
Now, but don't they have to pick up that option by May 3rd, right?
In May.
So you're not going to know what the outcome of that
competition
is.
Maybe they do. Maybe they've already decided that Beecham's going to be their guy.
Maybe they have, but how, they can't know that for sure, can they? Because
well, no, because you don't know if he's healthy.
Right, you don't know how he is going to respond. We understand that ACLs seem to be not nearly as daunting, and they aren't. But that doesn't mean any individual can't have issues with their ACL. So you don't think then, you think it's, if I'm reading you correctly, that they won't pick up the fifth-year option.
It
doesn't mean he won't be here beyond this year.
Right. But they
but
don't pick up the
automatically.
That's my take on it, because if you're bringing competition for him at left tackle and saying the second overall pick from 2013, the first draft pick of Dave Caldwell, needs the competition for us to see, and I have to decide by May, we'll take our chances. We'll see if he has a big year, and we'll pay him next year.
And that's the point. If you say it's a good problem to have, if Luke Jokel says, you know what, the hell with this, and he beats out Kelvin Beecham, and he then finally starts to show everyone that he is capable of living up to close to what his draft status indicated.
That's what I would say. And I would say that this would be the first time in back-to-back years he has his offensive line coach, and a good one at that, and a guy who can work with him and get him ready to go. I would say if I'm Luke Jokel, I'm betting on myself, and I don't need the option year. I'll go play my best. I'll take the most I can get from Doug Marrone and what the Jaguars put out on offense. I believe in the quarterback, and I believe what the receivers did last year. I like Chris Ivory. I'll bet on myself. I'll take the $5 million this year. Don't give me the option, and then let me go to the market next year. And if you think I'm good enough, you'll pay me. And if not, someone else will.
Brian Sexton here with us on Jaguars today. Brian, speaking of assistant coaches, you're going to mention Doug Marrone there. What about the addition of Monty Kiffin? How do you think he fits in? And is this, how is this handled with a first-year defensive coordinator? I made the suggestion the other day, not that Gus Bradley is asking permission of Todd Wash, but he seems like a very open guy. Yeah, Todd Wash is part of the interview process for other defensive coordinator candidates. I would assume that Gus just doesn't walk in and say, hey, by the way, Monty Kiffin's on the staff now. I would think this is discussed, again, not asking permission, but you have respect for your guy. You want him to know that you're not bringing this guy in to, you know, be on his shoulder the whole time.
Well, I think we can all agree that this is a big year for Gus Bradley.
No doubt.
Okay. So he hires Todd Wash to be his defensive coordinator, and that puts a lot of pressure on Todd Wash. This defense has to perform this year, right?
Sure.
I think that's everyone's assumption.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then if I'm Todd Wash, I'll take any tool you will give me. And Monty Kiffin's track record in the National Football League is not spotless, but, man, it's shiny. I mean, he has done a lot of good things on the defense side of the ball. So now you got a guy. He doesn't have a title of senior assistant head coach. He's a consultant. He's a defensive coach, right? Monty doesn't care. He's made plenty of money. He's done plenty. He's won Super Bowls. Monty now gets to come in here, and if you've met him and talked to him, he's a fascinating guy, and he's got a great big personality. Monty gets to come in here and help Todd, help Gus, and these are both guys that Monty's invested in. I think if I'm Todd and I'm Gus, Monty, what can you do, right? Can you evaluate how we process the calls from the booth straight out to Paul Posluszny? Can you tell us who's the best outside linebacker? If we draft Miles Jack, how should we use him, right? Is Scoot a guy that we can rush the passer with? So if I'm Todd Wash and I know that my friend and a guy that I have come up in the coaching ranks with needs me to perform at my best, bring him on. Let me have every tool in the toolbox. I like Monty, and I've had just limited interaction with him. But he's one of those people that when you talk to him, it's clear. This is a likable guy who knows a lot. Yeah, it'd be great to have him around.
All right, the final thought for you here, at least for the moment.
It'll be my final thought for the day.
I know it won't. With free agency, again, like a draft, you can't fully evaluate until you see how these guys play. But based on who they wanted to get, who they're able to get, and the holes they filled or failed to fill, what kind of a grade or performance would you say they had?
Well, you know, I think it was solid. I like Malik Jackson. I really like Tashaun Gibson. He was a guy that I looked at last year before they put the tag designation on him up there. I'm different than most. I didn't want Olivier Vernon, right? You were going to pay him more than J.J. Watt was going to make. And I understand, you know, year-to-year scale and all that. But J.J. Watt showed us from the first moment he stepped on the field he was worth the money, right? You're talking about three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year.
Four-time first-team All-Pro.
Right. And I'm not a Pro Bowl guy because Pro Bowl is...
No, first-team All-Pro.
All-Pro matters, right? Only guy in the league history to have 220-plus sack seasons and led the league in sacks twice in his first 5 years. He earned the money. You know, Olivier Vernon was once named a Special Teams Player of the Week in the AFC and once named a Defensive Player of the Week. Other than that, he had 8 games. Now he's got $17 million a year. That would have been a terrible contract because you know I'll put it right now. I'm buying you both dinner if he has more than 10 sacks next year.
Oh.
Just don't forget it.
You just became a Olivier Vernon fan. Yeah. I like this.
I don't think you're going to see it.
So, you know, it was not perfect. They didn't find an edge rusher, but it's not like they didn't pursue them, and Dave Caldwell offered the money. At some point, you have to, I think, be responsible fiscally and say, sure. The limit is the limit. And he went, as he said, well beyond his comfort range.
Right.
Because, not just a little bit.
Because there's that pressure for this defense to perform this year, he wants to give Gus, his head coach,
sure, give him the weapons.
All the tools he possibly can, so he went to the mat to get it done. I just want to say this. Man, there are great rushers that you find late in the draft. Justin Houston was the 70th pick in the draft. The guy from Indianapolis, why am I forgetting his name?
Current? Robert Mathis?
Yeah, Robert Mathis. 138th pick in the draft. Jared Allen, 183rd pick in the draft. And Chris Clements, who I'm not a big fan of his personally.
But he's had a productive career.
He had three 11-sack seasons in Seattle, and he went undrafted. So, yes, you've got Dante Fowler. He's an unknown. You could take Joey Bosa at the top of the first round. There are guys at the top of the second round. You could find guys. So it's not lost because they didn't overpay for a guy who was once the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. It's not lost.
You mentioned Bosa, and I'll wrap with this. Today's question of the day asks, if in this scenario, Laremy Tunsil goes number one, and then in whatever order, Ramsey, Miles Jack, Joey Bosa all go the next three picks. You're the Jags. You're stuck at five. You can't trade out.
Vernon Hargreaves. I watched
Hargreaves
him
is your guy right now. Okay.
I think he is a special talent. He showed you the difference between a top talent and everything else on that field yesterday. Flips his hips, turns, runs. He looked like he was on rails when they were doing the zigzag drill. And I know it was an underwear drill, but no one else on that field came even close to his athleticism. He's a special talent. If I can't move, I'm taking him. Then the next guy I take is Buckner. Because you know what? In a league where the planet only has so many big men who can move,
He's one of them, and he's been described to us as a future star by more than one pundit.
Hey, 6'7" with arms that are, you know, 8 feet long? Who doesn't want that in today's game? I take him, too.
He's Brian Sexton, longtime voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars, now a senior correspondent for Jaguars.com. Just means he pumps out tons of quality content on the website.
You can get it live on the app, baby.
There you go, Jaguars app and Jaguars.com. Brian, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you guys. Thanks
there he goes. Brian Sexton here talking Jags with you on Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. We come back this state in football and the drive around the NFL is next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, here is this date in football history, March 23rd. On this date, it was the debut of the World Football League. Yesterday, we talked about the 1992 season kicking off on that date. But the first World League of American football games were played. The London Monarchs beat the Frankfurt Galaxy in the first ever World League of American football game in 1991, 24-11. Sacramento beat Raleigh-Durham that day, and Montreal beat Birmingham. I had Stoff Prime tweet me, Tony, and said, hey, you forgot Amsterdam as a country that was represented in the World League. They weren't represented in 1992. They didn't join the league until 1995. We were discussing 1992 yesterday. Famous birthdays for this date. Jaws, or the Polish Rifle, however you want to refer to Ron Jaworski. He was born on this date 65 years ago in 1951, a one-time Pro Bowler. The Jaguar played the most games, 209 to be exact. Brad Meester, born on this date in 1977. Happy 39th to Brad. Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver, not the former Jaguar, never made the playoffs, but a six-time Pro Bowler. He turns 32 today. And the Jags rushing champ from 2011, Maurice Jones-Drew, born on this date in 1985, a three-time Pro Bowler in his own right. MJD turns 31 years young today, so go wish him happy birthday on Twitter. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints have agreed to a contract extension that will keep Payton with New Orleans through the 2020 season, expected to pay him around $9 million a year. Just a week after the NFL officially recognized a link between playing football and CTE for the first time, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones is calling any characterization of there being a link between the two as absurd, saying, quote, "There's no data that in any way creates a knowledge. There's no way that you could have made a comment that there is an association and some type of assertion. In most things, you have to back it up by studies, and in this particular case, we all know how medicine is. Medicine is evolving. I grew up being told that aspirin was not good. I'm told that one a day is good for you. I'm saying that changed over the years as we've had more research and knowledge, so we are very supportive of the research. We have for years been involved in trying to make it safer. Safer as it pertains to head injuries. We have millions of people that have played this game, have millions of people that are at various ages right now that have no issues at all, none at all, so that's where we are. That didn't alter at all what we're doing about it. We're going to do everything we can to understand it and make it safer." As expected, the NFL owners have approved the rule proposal that calls for a player's ejection after two unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. Apparently, there is a difference between unsportsmanlike conduct and unnecessary conduct on the field, as Odell Beckham Jr. and Vontaze Burfict both would not have been ejected from their games last year and have kind of been the poster children for this whole thing to try to get players ejected. Touchbacks have been moved from the 20 to the 25-yard line now, which has been a college rule. The LA Rams will host Hard Knocks this season and are expected to be the home team for the 2018 game to be played in China. While a team is in a temporary facility, the NFL can't compel that team to host an international game. LA is technically going to be in a temporary facility from 2016 to 2018. And another rule, the IR designation to return rule has also been tweaked. Teams can now apply that tag retroactively, meaning they can pull a player off of the IR and give him that designation to return based on that player's recovery. Players on IR still have to be there for those 6 weeks, but after that, instead of saying this is IR player designated to return, you can put him on IR. If he recovers, you can take him off.
Gotcha, but he needs to spend at least 6 weeks on IR,
yes.
Regardless, either way. That makes sense. I don't know what the big issue would be with that. Tony, the one that you were talking about with the touchbacks, is that all touchbacks now come out to the 25 or just on kickoffs? Because I heard that that may be proposed that only touchbacks on kickoffs come out.
I am not sure.
They're really trying to eliminate or cut down
the amount of kickoff returns. It would make sense that it would just be kickoffs.
Which it would make sense that they would think it would make sense that it would just be kickoffs. I get the point you're making that that's the area. They're not trying to give you a boost by starting you out further. They're trying to incentivize taking a knee on a kickoff return. But to me, you know, you have a touchback because you intercept the ball in the end zone and you take a knee in that circumstance.
The ESPN article I'm currently looking at says it is kickoffs only.
All just kickoffs. Okay,
kickoffs only, correct.
I've seen like some of the numbers coming out just after that rule kind of got announced this morning that kickoff returns from returners coming out from 1.5 to 2 yards deep into the end zone average getting out to the 21.5-yard line. So even in that circumstance,
so
overall,
if you're in the end zone period, you're probably taking a knee. Unless
overall, the stats say you should.
Right, unless you're maybe under a minute to go, you're down by a score, and you got an explosive kickoff return.
Now, the question is, for the NFL who's trying to prevent these kickoffs and lessen the numbers of them, do NFL teams start doing what we've seen some college teams do? Urban Meyer's been doing it for a decade now in the college football game where he kicks one of those high floating kicks to a corner and tries to just basically trap you in that corner because they don't want you to get the ball at the 25-yard line. Instead, we'd like to basically angle it. I'm curious to see if NFL teams may try it.
Well, they say they've studied the college game and that there hasn't been a major influx of that strategy.
No, there's not a lot of teams
implemented.
That do it.
Right, and because you risk kicking it out of bounds in that scenario, and then the team gets it at the 40-yard line. So, all right, whatever. That's their rule changes for the year. I'm sure we'll all adapt as far as that goes. Shad Khan, Gus Bradley, speaking at the owners' meetings yesterday. We've got some of the audio from what the owner and head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars had to say, and we'll share that coming up. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday for all-size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial plumbing, industrial plumbing, for your businesses, septic systems, you name it, restaurant grease trap service. If it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter are the people that know how to solve any dilemma you may have with same-day service, weekends included. The right people with the right equipment is the reason Metro Rooter has been so successful, serving Jacksonville and the surrounding communities since 1978. MetroRooter.com, that's the website. Call 695-1911. That's 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, the people I trust for all my plumbing issues. They've been in my home, and they've served me very well. They'll do the same for you. Our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars Today is Metro Rooter. Back with Shad Khan and Gus Bradley next on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This is the quarterback of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles, and you are listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
I was going to play some golf with our man Barry Milligan this afternoon.
Yeah.
And I get a frantic text from him yesterday. Oh, bro, so stupid. We're going to see Earth, Wind, and Fire tomorrow. Earth, Wind, and Fire in Chicago. They're playing with Chicago tonight, right? Tyler Devitt, is that what I'm led to believe?
I will not be there, but that is the word in the street.
I will not be there either. What do I do tonight? I've got some catching up on the tube tonight. I know it's exciting for
everybody. The OJ show, right?
You know what? It's funny you say that because I'm ahead. I haven't. I don't know what episode they're on. I've watched. It's a 10-episode run. I've watched 8 of the 10 episodes, and at least I was ahead. And I've got the 9th on the little FX screener site that I can watch whenever I want. So I haven't felt the urgency to keep up with that in a timely fashion. I've been watching Daredevil season 2, although I kind of fell asleep during one of the episodes last night, so I'll probably have to rewatch that one. About 3 left to go there, Tony, and in Daredevil season 2. And now Flash and Arrow are back, and that's like a family viewing thing for us.
Nice.
On Tuesdays and Wednesdays. And so I didn't watch Flash last night. Still haven't seen Better Call Saul. I'm slacking this week. I have lots of my TV programming to catch up on, but what are you going to do? It's just the way it goes. 2 episodes of Walking Dead, and the season is over. And when is Lucille coming out? It's a big question. And that one, no spoilers, no spoilers, no spoilers here. All right, this one from this one on the private text line from John Osher, a little wise ass. We're talking about Hail Mary earlier and the football vernacular compared to baseball and all the little sayings baseball has. And I said, you know, I think the original Hail Mary was the Billy White Shoes Johnson. I combined memories, as I'm wont to do at this stage in my brain's development, Tony. It was Drew Pearson, who we actually, I think, interviewed last year about that at Radio Row. Not this year.
I think we might have, yeah.
I think it was last year at the Super Bowl we interviewed him. He caught the one from Staubach. Billy White Shoes Johnson, of course, played for the Falcons when Bartkowski threw him the one that bounced off a couple of guys. He caught it at like the 5, and we just rewatched the play, as a matter of fact, on NFL.com in the archives. And I don't know if he got in, Tony. I think if they had replay, he might have been down at like the 2-inch line on that one. That would have been a testy one if they had the down the line angle for Billy White Shoes Johnson. So thank you, John Osher. For as a matter of fact, his exact text was Drew Pearson caught the Hail Mary, for God's sakes. Osher coming strong today, and then made sure to pop in on the break to rub it in even further. Johnny O will be in with us tomorrow in the first hour of the program discussing some final odds and ends from the owners' meeting, Stoney. And with that, let's transition over to that. Shad Khan, being an NFL owner, was in attendance at the NFL's owners' meetings. Who would have thunk it? But yesterday was asked if there was a spending limit in free agency that he imposed, especially for Olivier Vernon.
No. I think, you know, that's what they're there for, to really strike this balance, which is that we efficiently use the salary cap and, you know, get the best players to help the Jaguars.
In other words, I trust my people, right? I've hired these guys to be
football
what they
guys.
Are. No matter what their one loss record, he still has faith in the organization making competent decisions. They haven't always resulted in wins, clearly, but he's trusting Dave Caldwell and John Idzik and company to manage the cap and determine themselves what the value on Olivier Vernon and others.
Shotcom went on to be asked about the NFL in China. We've heard today that it sounds like the Los Angeles Rams will probably be giving away a home game in 2018.
Compelled to go
host that home game in China, but would the Jags have any interest in playing there?
Well, I think for us, I think we've got a commitment in London, but certainly, I think I'm delighted. I think it's really the right thing to do, and I find this, really kind of refreshing that, 3 years ago when we were talking about London, it seemed like kind of a crazy idea. And now, playing obviously in Mexico, China, Brazil, all of those are, very real possibilities. I think it's great for the league.
And then a table tennis game broke out right at the end.
Like it's in the locker room.
And then a shot also the media in attendance, which included Brent Martineau of 1010XL, CBS 47 and Fox 30, and Ryan O'Halloran, frequent guest host on Jaguars Today, was asked, what about other international games and the Jags?
Our commitment is London for many, many reasons, and I think that have been articulated before. Really to, supplement what we're doing in Jacksonville. And, I mean, what's interesting is that, there are a lot of volunteers now to play these games. And which is, I think it's really healthy. It's awesome. And so there's a huge amount of interest.
Look, Shad, again, showed foresight. Let's lock it in London for a few years and then re-up when given the opportunity. Because he saw the market and the vacuum that was there that needed to be filled in his mind. And it is certainly, if you look at the numbers, the Jags basically make twice the revenue on a London game as they do a Jacksonville game. It's helped stabilize the franchise economically. And now you see other teams saying, well, whoa, wait a minute. If they can do double theirs, we can do double ours. Can we get a piece of that as well? Tony, you ever read classic comics when you're coming up? They were basically like, you'd have like a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, but it would be in comic book form.
No, I didn't read them, but
right.
I
you
knew
know what
about
I'm talking
it.
About?
Yeah.
There was one in there, and I don't know what the comic was, but there was a parable in there about a dog who had a bone in his mouth, right? And this dog walked up to the edge of the lake, and he looked down, and he saw his reflection, and the reflection looked like a bigger dog with a bigger bone in his mouth, and he got jealous, so he opened his mouth to grab the other bone out of the other dog's mouth, and in the process, he lost everything. In other words, sometimes you got to be happy with what you have. Don't get too greedy, because then you risk everything blowing up. Why would Shad Khan be interested in going to China when he's got the London market cornered, so to speak, at least for the time being, and I think quite happy to have that happen.
Yeah, we heard the comment from Shad Khan earlier during Tyler's update, talking about the possibility of playing Houston next year in London. They're playing Indianapolis this year, so he said it certainly could be a possibility. Shad then went on to be asked about some of the stuff that's happening right here in Jacksonville, including on when will they be breaking ground for the new practice facility.
I think it'll happen very soon because, we've gotten the design done, and I think the latest iterations, I mean, you'll see it's really cool, and it's something that, is iconic, be around for a long time. And it's out for bids. So I think once the business aspect is kind of sorted out, contractors selected over the next few days, they'd be ready to go.
Unlikely the practice facility would be available for this season?
I'm not sure, quite frankly. I think they were looking at a number of permutation combinations, what they can get done. What they'd be able to work on even during the football season, and so on. So I think we got a great team working on it, and they'll be sharing.
Hey, it'll get done when it gets done as soon as it possibly can. And there's still some, as Shad said, some business T's to be crossed and I's to be dotted, so to speak. Tony, let them open it in 2017 to welcome in the reigning Super Bowl champion Jacksonville Jaguars into their new facility.
That'd be sweet.
That would be pretty sweet. What about the Shipyards project that it seems to have been tabled, at least for now, at least the talk of it has. What is the latest update on that?
I think, you know, we've been working with the city on really a number of those. I think economic development, you know, certainly to the Jaguars is very important, I think, and it's vital to the Jacksonville area. Jaguars NFL can be an engine for that. We've got, I think, you know, we've been talking to the city, I think, on Shipyard specifically. They've had issues, environmental otherwise. But there are, you know, sites right next to them that would make sense. So, you know, it's very much something live we're working on.
Shaq Khan, courtesy of Jaguars.com, speaking with the media yesterday, was asked about the plan that they've had in place since he got here with Caldwell and Bradley coming in and having to be patient with that plan. Has that been something that's been hard for him?
To me, I think I can see the big picture. Maybe you're close to it. I think it's, you know, we want to make sure we're communicating it to the fans. They understand what's going on. So, they look at it that regrettably, you know, this is something we've got to go through to have something that's sustainable and winning for the long term.
Well, let's hope that's the case, right? Let's hope that's the end result of this. And I think if it pays off that you've got long-term sustainability, people are going to look back and the era of, you know, Gus Bradley going 12 and whatever in however many games is going to be looked at completely differently. Obviously, you've got to get to that point, though, because there's no guarantee that this is the formula that leads to long-term sustainability. That's the belief, but it's not a guarantee. And then finally, jumping ahead to Shad's final comment, talking about the Florida-Georgia extension, how that plays for the Jaguars and his thoughts on that game sticking around in Jacksonville for a long time.
I think it's very, very important. And, you know, you'll find it interesting that these clubs we were just talking about, that really resonated with Florida and Georgia, because how the clubs are done, we're going to team one for one team and the other one. And it's basically, you know, some, a lot of it is electronic. A lot of it is you basically hit a switch and they get differentiated areas, premium areas for really some of their big supporters. So just about everything we're doing at the stadium, we're looking at from a Jaguars viewpoint, but also Jacksonville. I think that's very important that we get more events to the city and, you know, football as well as sports be one of the engines of growth, economic growth.
Those are the comments of Jacksonville Jaguars owner Shad Khan. Head coach Gus Bradley also speaking yesterday at the owners' meetings in Boca Raton, spoke for over an hour, 119 questions, was it? 100-and-something
questions. 114
questions. 114 questions Gus Bradley answered yesterday. We tried to find some of the highlights for you, and among the first highlights we found, talking about free agent acquisition to Sean Gibson and what he could allow that defense to do.
Our thought was to have guys like Cyprian and Sample down close to the box, you know, and get them in the box a higher percentage of the time. And with that, you know, a guy like Gibson, you know, can play back and play his middle third and go red line to red line and be an open field tackle in the middle third. So, you know, those traits. Now, he also played down quite a bit as well. And on occasion, you may see him do that. But I think his traits, his ability to be a ball hawk, those traits best fit him back there as our single safety.
Right, and on occasion you probably will see lots of different things, you know, temporarily, but this is a definite decided move away from left-right safety, right? Interchangeable safety to true box safety and back-end last resort defender, kind of, so to speak, the guy over the top to protect your cornerbacks. So Gus also asked at the owners' meetings yesterday during a breakfast session on what the offseason moves have meant to this team.
With the additions that we had, obviously had some needs that we wanted to get stronger and add competition, and we felt like we did that. So bringing on a free safety, a corner, you know, a three technique, you know, adding those types of players into our, we talk about having some very good players and then adding very good players to that group. We felt like we did that.
You heard Gus Bradley a moment ago talking specifically about Deshaun Gibson as one of those additions in the secondary, the other addition back there being Prince Amukamara, who Gus also commented on yesterday.
Just his size, he plays with really good length on the line of scrimmage and extremely competitive. And, you know, in our conversations and watching film with him, you know, I just felt like he really fit our style. And he's come in a highly competitive situation.
He plays with good length on the line of scrimmage.
Good length.
He does. Oh, my goodness, the terminology. It's ridiculous.
Gus would be a good finally, person to ask about vernacular in football. We should get him in one day and talk about it.
Yeah, we'd have to give him a heads up, though, right? Solid would be one. good length on
He's
the line
solid.
Of scrimmage. I've never heard a cornerback described as playing with good length on the line of scrimmage. Does that mean he is good pressing guys because he uses the length of his arms to get into guys' bodies?
I
mean,
would
could
assume
mean
it's
that.
Something like that.
Other than that, are you just saying he is a tall guy? When you see him out there lined up near the line of scrimmage
he
covering
plays
receiver,
tall?
He plays with good length on the line of scrimmage. Does he play with good length
he shrinks.
15 yards down the field as well?
He plays with really good length on the line of scrimmage.
There you go. So I think that cleared it up. That answered our question.
Arm and talent.
Finally, that is a hateful phrase. Arm talent is so annoying. Those are not like football phrases like we were talking about earlier, like Hail Mary. These are draftnik phrases designed to make the draftnik seem like they have some kind of superior, arcane, hidden knowledge that no one else has access to because they like to speak in these coaches'
sure.
arm talent.
Spin the magic bean.
Oh, just stop it. Arm talent. All right, finally, we talked with Brian Sexton a few moments ago, or maybe about a half an hour ago, about his thoughts on Monty Kiffin joining this coaching staff. What about the head coach? What about the hiring of Monty Kiffin?
With Kiff, I just felt like when he came in and I asked him just to sit in on some of the interviews, and then after that, I just said, let's just take it day by day. And once you sit in with the defensive meetings, with us, we were all in there. And as we go through cut-ups and just add insight, tell us what you see. And, maybe it's when we're all done and evaluation and give some insight. And I thought he did a great job. And I saw Todd talk to him, the DB coaches talk to him, D-line, the linebackers. Everybody was kind of bending his ear. So I think that just his experience, his expertise, add a lot. So we just came to the conclusion to eventually pay him for what he's been doing.
Walking database of defensive football is basically what he is, right? I mean, that's what Monty Kiffin is. If you've got, as Brian said, any aspect of defense, hey, if we draft this guy, how would you use him? Does he fit this scheme? Can we come up with a way to adjust the scheme to fit his skill set? Player evaluation, what are we doing wrong? How would you design a concept or a scheme to stop this particular wide receiver? Whatever the case may be. Monty Kiffin, from the sounds of it, everyone's putting their egos aside. Todd Wash knows the importance of this season. Gus Bradley certainly knows the importance of the season. And Monty Kiffin gets a chance to coach his 50th season in football, 29 in the National Football League, 21 as a collegiate defensive coach as well. So there's probably not too many situations he hasn't seen come down the line. That's some of what Gus Bradley and before that Shad Khan, the coach and owner of your Jacksonville Jaguars, had to say over the course of the last day or so down at the owners' meetings in Boca Raton, which have now broken up. But plenty of new rules coming out of that we've highlighted. We'll run down some of those on the other side as well. That audio courtesy of our friends at Jaguars.com, by the way. Your thoughts, courtesy of you, sent in this morning to the question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, which ask you, worst case scenario, Laremy Tunsil, Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, Joey Bosa, in whatever order, are off the board. Jags can't trade down at number 5. What do they do? Who would you like to see them pick with the 5th selection? Oh, we'll get to your feedback coming up next on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
He plays with really good length on the line of scrimmage. I think one of the things in free agency, you're looking to have flexibility in the draft. And I think it allowed us to do that. You'd like to go into the draft saying, we can take truly best available. The player that's best at when we pick. And I think that's what the free agency has done for us. So we have some needs still. We have some areas that we'd like to concentrate on, but it's allowed us that.
That's Gus Bradley. Another final thought from the owners' meetings in Boca Raton, saying that just what Dave Caldwell told us a little over a week ago, Tony, that they want to be able to go in and truly not feel like, oh, if you don't get such and such
right.
position here, we're going to be in trouble. You want to try to avoid that circumstance. Can't always do it. But, I think back to did they sign Trey Thomas the year they drafted Jokel? I'm trying to think back to the timing of that. You know,
I think it might have been the same year.
I think it might have been, right? I mean, gosh, seems like Trey Thomas was here a long time ago, doesn't it now?
Trey Thomas signed with the Jaguars in 2009.
Oh, was it
okay,
nine?
So it was 2009. But who was it that they brought in? I remember they brought in Trey Thomas and it was a case. Was it Eugene Monroe?
Could have been.
It might have been Eugene Monroe, right? Did they draft Eugene Monroe that year? And it was a case where, all right, we've got a guy who's played a lot of tackle in the league. If we don't draft a tackle here, we're not going to not be able to field a team. We're ready to go. We can field some kind of a semblance
Monroe
of a
was
team.
It? No.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
All right, Trey Thomas, the land bulldog. Woohoo! Baby! That's right, Tony. What you got, huh? Huh? What you got from your alma mater? Yeah, Trey Thomas is what I've got. All right, moving along. Tony, if you could, one more time, just run it down. Rules changes that did get voted into effect for this upcoming NFL season by the owners at the owners' meeting.
Here's what we got. The line of scrimmage is permanently moved for extra points to the 15-yard line, and defenses can now return any missed try. Obviously, that stays in the field of play. Another one that we haven't talked about, but offensive and defensive play callers on coaching staffs can use the coach-to-player communication system regardless of whether they are on the field or in the coach's booth. All chop blocks are now illegal. A couple of these on a one-year basis, getting to those now. Disqualifying a player who is penalized twice in one game for unsportsmanlike conduct, that's a one-year thing. Changes the spot of the next snap after a touchback, so it's going out to the 25-yard line. Again, that's a one-year thing. They're expanding the horse collar rule. When a defender grabs the jersey at the nameplate or above and pulls the player to a ground, so you no longer have to pull inside the pads.
I don't like this one.
Be a horse collar penalty.
Gently encircle them around the waist and lay them lovingly on the ground.
You now get a foul for delay of game when a team attempts to call a timeout when it is not permitted to do that. Eliminate the 5-yard penalty for an eligible receiver illegal touching a forward pass after being out of bounds and reestablishing himself in bounds. It's been a 5-yard penalty forever. It's now going to be a loss of down. Basically, that illegal touching penalty on offensive players will be a loss of down instead of a 5-yard penalty and repeat that down. And they changed some of the way that they're going to spot the ball. Multiple spots of enforcement for a double foul after change of possession has also changed. Of course, the Baltimore Ravens proposal of each coach getting 3 challenges a game and being able to challenge the helmet-to-helmet hits that are being penalized, that got tabled. They said they may get back together in May and have a further discussion about that. Also, the IR designated to return, that's been tweaked a little bit where teams can now pull a player off of IR, give him that designation to return after he's been on IR for 6 weeks instead of having to give him that designation ahead of time and make that decision 6 weeks later.
All right.
Just tweaked a little bit.
So a handful of things that a lot of them are on a one-year kind of trial basis right now, and which is what the extra point was this past year. Now it's become a permanent thing with the moving back to the 15-yard line. Let me go to Facebook here first today, Tony. We asked you if the first 4 picks in the draft, in some order, are Tunsil, Ramsey, Jack, and Bosa, who would you like the Jags to take at number 5? That assumes they're going to take someone at number 5, so I'm going to ignore all the, I'd trade down. Okay, that's not the hypothetical we're throwing out there, but that's okay. So I like this one from Jeff Cummings because he gets the program today. Jaguars would then have to illustrate a good football term and go oppo, which we all know that means that they were expecting to take a defensive lineman but end up taking an offensive lineman. They would take Ronnie Stanley. I would have said Hargraves, but that would not let me show off my vast knowledge of football terms and go oppo, hashtag Jaguars today. That's a baseball term, but nonetheless, we appreciate Jeff integrating oppo into his retort there on Facebook. Doug said, assuming the spirit of the question is no trading back, he'd take best player available and go with Ezekiel Elliott. That's an interesting one there. I don't see that having a prayer of happening, but, you know, we asked for your opinion. Stephen K. Brown, our man up in Memphis, said the short answer would be Ronnie Stanley to protect the biggest asset on this team. But if this happened, the Jags front office must create competition from that pick. From quarterback-hungry teams, he's saying if that really played out, make it a bidding war for the fifth pick if you possibly can. Number of votes for Noah Spence on Facebook. I'm not going to read everyone individually. Several votes for DeForest Buckner as well, but I would say, and Shaq Lawson, I would say Spence and Lawson probably drawing the most interest. Mm-hmm. By the way, look at the 1010XL crew out there in the hallway. And I love the fact, do you love the fact that Frank Frangie, the play-by-play voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars, has to wear a visitor's badge
sign in as
when
a
he comes
visitor
down the hall? Frangie, get in here! Frangie, come down the hall and pop into the studio real quick and tell us your thoughts on that visitor's badge that you're wearing right now. Come here, come here, come in and join us on Jaguars Today, Frank Frangie, and then we'll get to the Twitter feedback today on today's question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. As Frank Frangie, play-by-play voice extraordinary. He's busy. He's got somewhere to be in just a few minutes. We're taking his valuable time.
Never too busy for this, though.
How do you feel about the fact that you have to wear that visitor's badge when you come back into our inner sanctum?
I don't like it. I don't like it at all because I'm too tall. So all that fits in the picture is like my nose and mouth. My forehead's gone. I don't like that.
What are you looking? O'Halloran had a collection of them going up there as a protest. He'd stick them up on the locker in here, and then he was told if he didn't check out,
right,
he wouldn't be checking back in the next day.
They came back and had the conversation with us instead of with Ryan.
Tell your guy
he needs to bring his badge back.
I'll tell you what, it takes a while now. I mean, you plug it all in. It's very secretive. So
it is.
I don't like it. But I like Oppo. Why are you guys all over to Lauren?
No, we are backing her up. It is absolutely
phenomenal.
Jeff Prosser's like, that's not a baseball term.
He's wrong.
Of course he's wrong. It's clearly a wrong.
I mean, we were talking about that. How do you not know Oppo?
Yeah,
how
they asked me last night. Right, they asked me last night. It wasn't even in terms of baseball. I hadn't heard that part of the program. And so I'm doing crosstalk with the girls, and they ask, do you know what Oppo means? And I'm like an opposite field base hit? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, yeah, it's a baseball term. It's
right.
Been around for
usually
a while.
Usually a home run, but you could probably use it for any hit to the opposite.
Yeah, you went Oppo. And you're right. It's more often with the home runs, but that's right. Yeah, and I mean, Prosser, I just very, very, very disappointed.
Very, very, very small-minded and not very worldly. And then I would add that Warren Brooks, though, described it as such as going opposite, such as when a right-hander hits one to left field. And that's not quite. Yes, those words are opposite, right and left, but that's not exactly what we're talking about.
No, not exactly that.
We don't have oodles of time, and I know you've addressed this, I'm sure, at length on your show in the afternoon. But just a state of where things stand right now with the draft now about 5 weeks away, free agency, the major heavy lifting done. What do you think?
It's number one, it's an important year, and that's why I think they're all in. That's why you look up and Monty Kiffin's here and John Donovan's here and John Benton. These are experienced coaches. These aren't guys – these aren't GAs 1 year out of college. These are experienced coaches. That's why all the money was spent. Mike, I think they did all they could in free agency, bro. They tried to get Olivier Vernon. I mean, I don't know that you can try a whole lot more.
Right.
He didn't want to come.
Well, at some point, you have to say, I'm not going to give you 60 guaranteed or 70 guaranteed. Yeah. You have to draw the line.
And I'm
at
not
some
sure
point.
The Giants wouldn't have kept going. So I don't think he would come. So given what they did, I like where they sit. I'm like everybody else. I worry about the path, the edge rusher, the Leo. Everybody worries about that. You hope Fowler can come back. I hope the offense can continue to get better. My biggest concern and my biggest area of intrigue is they didn't run the ball very well. Three rushing touchdowns, not counting the ones from Blake. Three rushing touchdowns from a running back. Can they drive block better? Because that's kind of
you're
what
right.
they want to be.
Because it's not just Chris Ivory. He himself told us, I can't solve it myself. You got to have those guys up front creating some space.
Yeah, I'm the only one that thinks this, but I would not be surprised if Luke Jokel is their left guard. Everyone thinks I've lost my mind because he doesn't look like a guard. He's tall and thin. But it would not shock me if when they played, he wound up being their left guard.
Assuming Beecham is healthy.
Right.
I think they're both – the great likelihood is they're both starting. Whatever combination that is, they're both starting offensive
line. And Beecham, and Dave will tell you this too, is way more tackle than guard. Now, I know Jokel has been too, but
I'm just trying to give Luke Jokel the respect to say, hey, you know what? Go out there and beat this guy out. If it truly is a competition, we may all say, hey, Beecham's more accomplished. Go prove it. You know, go prove it. And so, but I think a worst case scenario, one of those guys is sliding inside the guard, and it's probably not as bad as, it could be.
Mike, if they can go through the draft and get fast defensive guys, whether it's Miles Jack or Jalen Ramsey or Bosa and then whoever the next time around, if they can get a horde of fast defensive guys, okay, and that's not all they're going to draft, but if the crux of their draft, it is, if the crux of their draft is fast defensive guys, Yeah, I'm intrigued. I kind of like where they're going to be.
All right.
Fast defensive guy.
Question of the day. We'll end with this. We've been asking in maybe the bad case draft scenario for number five, if Tunsil goes number one, and then in whatever order,
yeah.
Ramsey, Bosa, Jack are off the board with the next three picks. You can't trade out of the spot.
Yeah, boy.
Who's your guy at the moment?
Boy, I don't know that answer. If you can't, if all three are gone and you can't get out of there, I still would, gosh, do you?
I mean, Hargraves is a thought. You go the next best pass rusher.
I almost think you go down to Lawson. You go down to the Clemson guy. I don't have it in front of me, but I think if that happens, that's a great question. All three are gone, and you can't trade back.
Right.
Best pass rusher you can get. Now, it's too high for Leonard Floyd. I'd have to see who's there. Okay?
A lot of people like Noah Spence at that spot.
Yeah, he scares me.
I think he scares them, guess. Yeah, I don't see that as being a number five selection of this team.
To your question, which is a great question, best available pass rusher, even if you take a guy higher than his value would indicate or your draft board would indicate, all three are gone, can't trade out of there. It would be the best available pass rusher.
What are you having? What's cooking today?
I don't know. I want
you look nice.
I'm a big believer in the sea. I thought you meant
what
food.
Tony,
I'm thinking food. I was hoping.
I can tell you what's here as far as food. You can go have a sandwich.
I was hoping it was a food conversation. We are going to plan our draft show. I think the
good.
Yeah, so that we'll all be involved in, and we always do a draft show 6 to 10. On the Thursday night of the draft.
Yeah.
And
well, I hope to join you live from Chicago.
Are you going up?
Well, that's the tentative plan.
Okay.
So we'll see how it all plays out.
Joe Fortunato is the czar, the boss.
He's the czar of everything.
He's kind of the emperor of the draft show.
Yes.
So we're here to meet with the emperor.
I'm told he invented radio, actually. Marconi stole it.
You know what?
Fortunato is the original.
I Googled and wikied that, and that's true.
Yeah.
On both.
It's like in the Italian job. Yeah. Like the kid invented Napster, remember?
Yeah.
And his roommate stole it when he was taking a nap. Yeah. But something like that.
There you go.
Frank Frangie, everybody, the play-by-play voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Thank you, bud.
Great to see you, boys.
Good to see you as well. I love the name tag for Frank Frangie. I'm very, very happy about that development. All right, Tony, quick look. Anything jump out at you on Twitter on the response today? Mostly a lot of Noah Spence, Shaq Lawson.
Noah Spence, Shaq Lawson.
Rush.
Yeah, that kind of thing. You didn't even get a whole lot of offensive linemen. You got a lot of, you know, we want to trade back. We don't want to get stuck in that spot. But it's, we've said it's kind of a nightmare scenario from a fan perspective. We don't know how they feel about it in here. Interestingly enough, nobody said DeForest Buckner from the fans with that number five spot. But if they got stuck there, it seems like everyone's pretty set on pass rusher. A little bit of Hargraves in there as well.
All right, I will wrap up with this as all the ladies of Helmets and Heels are basically weighing in on the Twitter war over the word Oppo right now, which is delightful. Mike Borkwin at Kayak Fish said Oppo is not a baseball term. It's a modern day made up slang word like dinger. Exactly.
Dinger's a baseball term.
Right. That, all of them are made up. Yeah. Can of corn wasn't written in the rule book. It's a made up term, and it's just been around longer than Oppo, but it doesn't mean it's not a legit term. You may be opposed to it because you didn't grow up here in Oppo, blah, blah, blah. I didn't either, but it is now because we've heard it a bunch in the last 10 or 15
years. Yeah, we're not asking if you like the term Oppo.
We don't care, in fact, if you like the term Oppo. All right, that's going to do it
for
us today.
I don't like the term two-bagger,
right.
But that's a double.
Right.
Like,
it is. Texas Leaguer. What? That's the only league they can have those little windblown pop-ups turn into doubles? The Baltimore chop was only done in Baltimore? Stop it. All right. Thanks to Brian Sexton, the original voice. And thanks to Frank Frangie. We bookended the voices of the Jaguars on the program today. I like it. Got to hear from Shad Khan. Got to hear from Gus Bradley. We'll hear from John Osier tomorrow and many more. David Garrard on Friday. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Marconi Fortunato, I am Mike Dempsey signing off. This has been Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. XL Primetime next on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.